You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Give God a praise for the subject tonight, divine love. One thing I want you to know about God in reference to how he loves us is this right here. And most of us can relate. God, in loving us, always does what's in our best interest. God, in loving his people, always does for us what is good or what is beneficial. You'll never have to worry about God doing something to make you worse. He always does what makes us better. He always does that. And so if we're going to love each other the way that he loves us, then when it comes to how we treat one another, we have to make sure that we strive to always do what's in the best interest for our brother and our sisters. Always striving. Notice that I said always striving, because we can't attain to where God is at. God, when you look at him being perfect, he never misses it. So even when we strive to love each other according to what God has written, we sometimes going to come up short. We're going to come up short in reference to how we treat each other, in reference to how we talk to one another, in reference to what we do toward one another publicly or privately. Sometimes we'll fall short of the glory of God, right? But when we recognize that we did or said something that's not in the best interest of our brother or sister, we need to be quick to repent. We need to be quick to get it right. Amen? And when you quick to get things right, it says about you, in one sense, that you mature. You're mature. You've grown up. Because when you realize that you're wrong, you don't get stuck on wrong. You go ahead and do what's right. Now, some of us, you know that you're immature because you get stuck on wrong. And it takes you too long to get wrong right. See, part of being mature is getting to the point to where you can quickly tell a person you're sorry. Listen and mean it. You can not only say it, but when you say it, the person going to see in your actions that you meant what you said. Because in one sense, you're going to put things in place not to do again what it was that you did that you recognize was wrong. Right? I got to say that, because a lot of folk good at saying they sorry, but when you look at the person's actions, it's as if he or she didn't mean at all what they said. Come on, y'all. Have you ever had a person apologize to you and then 2 minutes later they were doing the same thing? How many of you ever had that happen, by show of hand? Probably all of us, right? Person just said they sorry, may even said it with tears rolling down their face. Then again, 2 minutes later, what's 2 minutes? Ain't that 120 seconds? They doing the same thing. Evident of the fact that what? They wasn't sorry, right? And so again, we have to strive to always do what's in the best interest of one another. We have to be committed to treating each other the way God wants us to treat each other. Do you realize that? That means no matter how long you may have had an attitude problem, been mean or hateful, you have to let that go. Okay? Because if you're going to be a true disciple, the proof of you being so is going to be found in your love for your brothers or sisters. Can I be honest tonight? You got saints in the church, not just this church. I'm talking body of Christ. I'm talking worldwide. Speak in tongues all the time, but hateful. Prophesying to people. How can you prophesy to folk but can't talk to them right? Something wrong with the prophecy. Something wrong with the lips that the prophecy is coming off of. How can you prophesy to one person because you love that person, but be hateful toward another person because of something you dislike about him or her? But out of that same mouth, in one sense, is coming something good. And then when folk turn their back, out of that same mouth is coming something bad. We can't be that way. Amen. Have to be what? Committed. Have to be committed. Okay. Now, this is the meat of what I want to talk about tonight. When you look at divine love or God's love, whether you're looking at it as God loving us, we turning around, showing that same love to one another. Understand tonight, sometimes divine love, are y'all ready? Can be tough love. Some of us have never heard the expression tough love. Sometimes God shows us tough love. He does what's in our best interest, but when he does it, it may not feel good to us. God sometimes have to say stuff to us that hurt. Woo, y'all quiet tonight. I don't know if you're sleepy or paying attention. Some of us don't understand tough love. We don't. But sometimes it's necessary for us to show each other tough love. I'm going to deal with it. Go to Proverbs, the third chapter. Some of it, even before I get to dealing with it, you already know that. You know a little something about tough love. And in one sense, it was tough love that got some of us to the place we at today. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was tough love. Folks saying stuff to us that they know was going to make us mad, but they said it because they loved us. Folks saying stuff to you that, again, they know may cause you to go days without speaking to them. But they know if you heed what they say, you're going to be better off. So they say it. Do you understand me? And I know today I am in part where I'm at today because tough love had to be corrected along the way. Had to be told I was wrong along the way. But all of it brought me, has molded me into the person that I am today. And so I appreciate it. And so as you mature in God, even in life, you learn that sometimes correction don't feel good. But when you see the results of putting into action correction and you better because of it, you learn, though it may hurt, to appreciate it. Woo, I should have got a whole lot of claps, or maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. We know from a natural standpoint growing up, some of us didn't like some of the whoopings we got at the time we got them. No, you didn't. Don't even sit there and act like when your dad or mama pulled that belt or switch that you were jumping up and down saying, bring it on. No, you wasn't. You were despising that. Am I right? Even frowning sometimes, even the nerd to roll your eyes at your parents, talk behind their back. Am I right? But then as you grew up, come on, not all of us, but some of us could look back, not at all them whooping, because sometimes parents are just too quick to whoop. But when we look back at those whoopings that we know we needed, some of us to this day, we appreciate that. Appreciate that mama didn't just let it slide. No, because if she'd have kept letting it slide, you'd have kept doing it. And so, again, you look back and you appreciate discipline. But see, God being the ultimate father also disciplines. And like it is in the natural, some of God's children disdain or hate correction, while others improve because they love it in the church. So let's deal with that a little bit, okay? Proverbs, the 3rd chapter in verse number 12. Note it. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. You have to understand that God, because he loves us, corrects us. Because he cares, he corrects us. Because he don't want me to ruin my life, he send me certain messages. Because he don't want to see you stay broke, he have the deacons to say certain things. Because of how much he desires for you to come out of certain situations, he corrects you. Because he loves you. Because some of us got it twisted. When correction come, we feel folk don't care. But sometimes correction come because of how much folk care. Are y'all with me tonight? Because God corrects directly and indirectly. Sometimes God has to use the prophet, because some of us gonna ignore him in our private prayer life. And sometimes you come to church, and if you don't know any better, it's like, pastor, just own me. Seems like he just ride me. No, you don't ever look at it like that. Because if God, in one sense, is correcting the church, he's starting that correction with me. He's starting it with me. But I'm so mature now that I know even when God rebukes me, I know he's doing it because he loves me. Again, don't miss it. He don't want to see me mess up my life. He don't want to see me end up in ruin or see me go down a path that he know is not good for me. No, I want him to send correction. How many of you like that? If you about to mess up, you want correction. Be careful. Woo, be careful. Raise your hand if you mean it tonight. If you about to mess up and do what you ain't got no business doing, how many want some correction? Look around and folk got their hand up. Lord, have mercy. Okay, put your hand down. I'm glad some of you didn't raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty tonight. I really do. Some folk didn't raise their hand. And some who raised their hand, I don't know why you did so. Because you know good and well you don't like correction. And the fact that you can sit in church and raise your hand saying you do is an indication of how strong-willed you are when it comes to rebelling against God. Because it's God talking to you about you, yet you gonna pretend to be something that you're not. Sometimes you have to recognize, even if I ask a question, if you know that ain't you, don't raise your hand. Just know, in that area, I must get better. I have to improve in receiving correction, because some of you know you don't like it because of how you go out of your way to avoid it. And I'm going to show you in the scripture tonight. Some of us talk to certain people we talk to because you know they will not correct you. They won't tell you what you really need to hear. And you won't dare go to a person who you know is going to get into you. You won't do it. Folk can tell you, you need to go do such and such. You won't dare do it. Why? You don't want that correction. But be buddy-buddy with somebody who won't dare tell you about yourself. Sometimes, like it or not, we need folk who are going to be honest with us about us. Be honest with what they see. Come on. You need that in your life. If everybody around you is singing your praises, yet you know you're not deserving of the praises that they sing, that's going to hinder your growth or your productivity. Right? And some folk can get ready to step and are unsure about what they are going to do and won't seek wise counsel. We'll move and do it without talking to anybody. What was it that made the person step being unsure without seeking wise counsel? A lot of time didn't want the correction. You can't mature without correction. You can't improve without correction. How many hearing me tonight? Sometimes improvement or betterment comes by way of rebuke or correction. So if that's the case and it's biblical, we can't despise it. We can't have a disdain for what God says will improve or help us. You have to learn whatever level you may be on to start growing in the area of receiving correction. Are you here tonight? Because listen, folk who hate correction will not improve. They won't improve. Look at the scripture again. Proverbs 3 and 12. Lord have mercy. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he what? So sometimes I know God loved me by the way he what? I know he loved me by the way he what? That means sometimes I can preach certain messages where your neighbor may be getting mad because of what I'm saying, but you sitting there knowing God loving on me right now. Boy, I went to Bible study last night. God was loving all on me. We laugh because most of us, we don't see it that way. We don't see it that way. Look at Proverbs 13. Just flip a couple of books over. Proverbs 13 chapter. Please hang in here. Be patient with me tonight. Proverbs 13, 18. Because there's no way to preach this. No way to get you real, real excited about this message. So we're just going to have to listen in. And those that want to get better, they're going to receive it. That's sometimes the only way I can say it. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame, disappointment, will come to him who disdains correction. Poverty and shame. Who in here want poverty and shame? Let me see your hand. Because if you want it, something seriously wrong with you. Yeah, we're going to make this word right here so simple. A wayfaring fool. Well, leave and say, I know exactly what he was saying tonight. Poverty and shame will come to him or her who disdains what? So none of us want poverty or shame. If you say you don't want poverty or shame, you're indirectly saying you love correction or you're willing to receive it. Hold on. Lord have mercy. It's like I lost some folk. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains or hates correction. If I don't want poverty and shame, I need to learn not to hate correction. Because if I hate it when it comes from God, directly or indirectly, I'm going to end up in poverty or shame. You will have a wonderful outcome for your life or how you see your life turning out. But if you hate correction, you even with that good master plan that you have designed, guess what you're going to run into sooner or later? Disappointment. Why? You take anybody who's reached a certain level of productivity or success, who got their right mind or got good sense or in line with the word, they're going to tell you about the times God corrected them. Listen, I want to go so far as to tell you, they're going to tell you about the time they thought they was right. Thought they had Bible to back up their thinking, but then God sent correction and simply said, don't do it that way, do it this way. They simply stopped doing it that way, started doing it his way, and started prospering. Some of you don't have no 10 steps how you came out. You just took correction in reference to your thinking or your behavior. Start doing it God's way, and then God start bringing you out. That's how some of you went from being depressed to being happy, applying instruction, being willing to be corrected. But if you don't want poverty or shame, you can't hate correction. Somebody has to tell you. Amen? Sometimes it's your pastor. Sometimes it's your spouse. Sometimes it's a brother or sister in the church who is led by the Holy Spirit to do so. Yeah, you got to say that, because some of us think we the police. We think we've been put in charge of correcting folk. And folk like that, the main one need correcting. Amen? We teaching tonight. Because some of us have been on the same road for years. And you keep trying to convince folk it's a trial. Ain't no trial. You ain't receiving correction. Could have been off that road. Could have been off that path. But you didn't want to receive tough love. Oh, God, I'm finna have to say something tonight. See, some folk want to be praised when they need to be rebuked. They don't need to be praised. Your decisions need to be dealt with. You need to be confronted about your decision making. You don't know what I'm going through. May not know in totality what you're going through, but a wise person can sometimes quickly spot the mistakes of fools. You can see folk do stuff that you know with the wisdom God has given you that they do not know what they're doing and don't want to be taught. Church is only good to the point to where you're teachable. A simple message like this, a person start being God conscious, start receiving instructions, God start bringing them out tonight. Oh, y'all see, y'all missed that. I said he start bringing them out tonight. Tonight, because they stop having a disdain for correction. So some that hate it, guess where they at tonight? In poverty and in shame. All this word come forth about giving. But the only thing you want to do is fight it. You're going to stay in poverty until you learn not to fight the word. Amen. Amen. Woo! Lord have mercy. I'm loving Bible study tonight. Now notice this, the latter clause of this verse. You got to get it now. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdain correction. But notice if I get a love for correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. You see that? Honor. Receive this tonight as that person will be elevated, promoted, or bettered. When you learn to receive correction, you're going to be honored. And the first one who's going to honor you is God. And if you can get God to honor what you do, can I say something? Don't worry about men who hate you. Don't even worry about folk who trying to stop you. Don't even worry about those who have lined up and are more powerful than you are. If your ways is something that God says he honors, he'll make the folk that's lined up to block you turn around and help you. Why? Because your ways please him. Come on, pastor. When a man's ways please the Lord, come on, church, he'll make his enemies his what? See, you coming into honor when you learn to receive correction and you don't run from it. But if it's truly of God, you say, I want it.
I want it. It might be tough on me, but I need this. Because sometimes tough love is tough on pride. Because most prideful people don't like to be told or shown what they wrong. Woo, and I know I'm right about it. I said, I know I am right about it. Most folk who battle with pride can't stand to be told they wrong about something. Listen, even when they already know they wrong. Sometimes you'll get mature in God to where when you know you operating in that which is wrong, you know correction comes. You so mature, you know already know. How many got to a point growing up, you knew when you were going to get a butt whooping? You already knew, you knew things that you could do that, you know, you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get, the eyes going to get rolled at you. But then you knew certain things you did, you might well go to your room. And put on an extra pair of blue jeans. Come on, anybody grew up like that? You already, see, I grew up in a house when it was an F, I already knew. Notice Ecclesiastes, because I'm still dealing with this now. Watch this. This is one going to sit a little. Yeah, this may rub some of us the wrong way. But yet we got to hear it tonight. Ecclesiastes 7 and 5. See, it's a trip sometimes to me, Lord have mercy, when it come to men, married men, who always got a word for their wife, but ain't nobody helping them to be no good husband. We laugh, and that's reason some marriages fail. There are some folk that fail in one marriage, fail in another marriage, fail in another marriage. And if they get married again, guess what's going to happen? That marriage is going to fail. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and 5. Please go there. Oh, Lord, go there. I want you to see it. Ecclesiastes 7 and 5. I'm going to show you why you choose the friends you choose. Ecclesiastes 7 and 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Y'all didn't get that. I'm going to read that again. What are you talking about a scripture? Somebody act like, well, I read that 100 times. You didn't even know that was in the Bible. But so true when it comes to some of us. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. It's better to be around somebody wise who will tell you the truth about you than it is to be around phony people who will sing your praises and tell you what they know you want to hear. And some of us only get with people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. I know you trying. You love when they tell you that. Because it makes you so comfortable when you should be anything but comfortable. And it's going to take somebody really wise to say to you, you done been here too long. Well, I'm trying. No, you're not. Because if you were trying, you would have already done A, B, and C. But look who you hang with. You claim you want better, but nobody in your crew has better or is even pursuing better. And the only thing you hear is the song of fools. A person can be a fool and not even know it. But the scriptures say it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Why? Because the wise know the way. It's better for me if a wise man rebuked me and it hurt than for me to take in what a fool is saying, though what the fool said made me happy.